Let us turn to our Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, Psalm 37. We'll read Psalm 37, the entire psalm. It's the psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell for evermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved for ever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein for ever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Our text for the sermon this morning is taken from verses 25 and 26, where we read, I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Beloved congregation, there is something precious and very moving when someone can testify about the Lord's grace and goodness in their life. This is true for those who are young, in whose hearts the Lord has worked powerfully, and who can speak of that, but this is perhaps especially true for those who are old. Maybe you've heard the testimony of an aged grandparent or a parent speaking with the children gathered around a bed of suffering or sickness or even death. Maybe you've heard the words of an old saint about to enter into glory with her life stretching behind her and eternity stretching out before her. Oh, then to hear what things are said can be most precious and moving. That's what we hear in this text this morning. This psalm is one of the later psalms that David wrote. It is an old age psalm. And throughout the psalm, I'm sure, as we read it together, you picked up on this. He's constantly contrasting, isn't he, the life and the end of the righteous and the life and the end of the wicked. The whole way through the psalm, from beginning to end, he's showing that the way of the wicked will be cut off, and the way of the righteous, they are those who will inherit the earth, who will be blessed. At verses 25 and 26, David gives this old age testimony about God. That's our theme. An old age testimony about God. And it's at these verses that his testimony is threefold. The first thing we notice this morning is that he says God has never forsaken. Second, he has always provided. And third, he draws out a thankful response. An old age testimony about God. He has never forsaken. He has always provided. And he draws out a thankful response. In this verse, David says, I have been young. He's looking back and he says, I have been young, but never in all those years when I was young could I bear testimony to who God really is than I can today. From this vantage point of my old age, David says, I can tell you, I can see, I can testify far more even than in my younger years that the God of my youth has been far more being than I had ever anticipated. He's been faithful. After all the experiences of my life, after all the trials and difficulties that I have experienced, after all the ups and the downs that have been sent me in the providence of my God, after all the joys and the sorrows, the adversity and the prosperity, now that the hourglass of my time on this earth is running out, now that the years of my life are 70, Now that I am old, I can bear testimony. It's like we lean forward on the edge of our seat and we say, David, what will you say? Tell me, David, what is it? After all these years, what will you say about the Lord and his dealings with the children of men? Here it is. He says, I have been young and now am old, and yet, although now I'm old, and although now many, many years have come and gone, and although now they're piling, as it were, the one upon the other, all that time of my life, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. It's worth noting, it's interesting, that David puts this in a double negative. I have not seen them forsaken. Forsaken being a negative term. He doesn't say, I have seen the righteous always accompanied by the presence of the Lord. That would be true as well. But he puts it this way. He says, I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Why is that? Well, sometimes when you go walking, you can take two different trails which both lead to the same location. But the one trail leads you along a rather straightforward path with many trees blocking your view, and it's not such a breathtaking walk. But the other trail takes you around, and it goes maybe along ledges with majestic views of the surrounding countryside. It's kind of like what David's doing here. He could have taken us along the simple trail and said that the righteous, as he observed it, have always had the presence of the Lord. But he chooses to take us down the other trail, the trail by which he wishes to show us the majestic views of the fact that the righteous have never been forsaken all the years of David's life. And why is that significant? What is it that gives this particular way of saying the same thing such tremendous moment? It's because when he says it in the negative, it implies that this being forsaken is actually what they deserved. You see, David himself is well aware of his own sinful heart. In his younger years, he'd prayed in earnest, O God, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. He had been singing to the Lord, of the Lord as his shepherd, and his desire was to be near his God where all is well. But David discovered also through his life that his sinful heart was such that it would lead him far astray into ways of sin and folly. David learned time and again, by painful experience, how capable, how inclined he is to follow after and fall into any and all sin but for the grace of God. And because of that, he realizes he deserves nothing. He had to cry at one point in his life to the Lord, O, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And it's out of the realization of that that David says here, I have not seen the righteous forsaken. What a wonder. Although God would have been just to forsake me and all his own if he were to deal with me according as I have deserved. He has not. This is who God is, he says. He has not forsaken his people. Another thing here is that David also doesn't say, I have not seen the righteous in any kind of trouble. He doesn't say, I never saw them troubled or confused, unsure of which way to turn. He doesn't say, I never saw them go through tribulation or distress. He doesn't say, I never saw them crying with grief. He doesn't say, I never saw them going through deep valleys. He did see those things. He recognizes that God's ways are mysterious and that the Lord doesn't always lead around the storm, but sometimes straight through it. Yes, says David, sometimes I saw the righteous doubting and afraid. Sometimes I saw them weak and ready to quit. Sometimes I saw them in trouble and distress. Sometimes I saw them bowed down with grief. Sometimes I saw them perplexed, not knowing where to turn or what to do. But, he says this, I never saw them forsaken. And the word forsaken, congregation, means to be utterly abandoned. Charles Spurgeon says that an abyss of misery yawns in that word forsaken. And David says, I can honestly say that I've never once seen the righteous forsaken like that. And why is it? It's not because they're righteous, as we've seen. The root cause of their not being forsaken doesn't lie with them. God didn't see something in them that because they walked so righteously that thereby they merited his presence and his help. No, and they would never say so themselves. God doesn't say so. They're righteous because they've been made righteous through faith in his Son. It is the undisputed track record of our covenant-making and covenant-keeping God that he whom he justifies, he also glorifies for his own sake, to his own glory. The root cause of this lies in God. Well, as we think of David's words, we can look ahead and wonder, will the testimony of David about his past also hold true for our future? We don't know what the future holds, it's true. But we do know who holds that future and who has said that never will he forsake you. What will providence bring you in time to come, child of God? What will your own soul's experiences yet have to teach you? What painful lessons may yet lie ahead for you? What depths, what trials, what burdens, what sorrows? Only the Lord knows. But come what may, you may believe that you will never be alone in them, because God has covenanted himself to his people, and he says to them, Lo, I am with you always. And he says to you this morning, that neither depth, the death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Dear seniors of our congregation, you once were young. Remember those days? But now you are old. You may lay hold of these words this morning with trusting confidence. As you look back over the decades of your life, is it any different today than it was with David in that day? And just as he saw his graying hairs and his wrinkling face, so you can see the unavoidable evidence that the sands of time are sinking beneath you. You can feel, can't you, that the years have taken their toll. Everything from your sleep at night, to the medication you take, to the aches and pains in your body, they point to your advancing age. Oh, you once were young, but now are old. Yet when you look back, is it also your firm conviction that never, no, not once, did you see the righteous forsaken? What faithfulness God has shown also to you in spite of the sins of those years. And oh, as you face what lies ahead, you may and you must and you can only set your hope in this truth. Yes, in the God of this truth, that he never forsakes those who put their trust in him. but a Savior who he is. When you must come to great afflictions and you must go through deep valleys, he says to you, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He'll never forsake you. As the good shepherd, he says of all his sheep, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's why you can daily pray, not just the seniors, but especially them, as David did in another place, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. And that's all and only for Jesus' sake. Has it ever struck you that this same truth cannot be said of Christ? It's true for all the children of God. But there was a time when this was not true for the Son of God. They were never forsaken, and they never ever will be, but he was forsaken by God. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He went into that abyss of misery that yawns in that word forsaken. He cried out on the tree of the cross with a loud voice, my God, oh, why hast thou forsaken me? You know why? You know why he was forsaken? As our Lord's Supper form puts it, that we might never be forsaken of God. That's it. That's the gospel. He for you, he forsaken, so you might never be forsaken. The reason for thanksgiving that is today. But the text goes on. David says in our second point, he also testifies that God has always provided. He says, nor his seed begging bread. God doesn't only not forsake, although they deserve it. He goes further. He goes beyond. He provides continually, consistently, and compassionately. I have never seen, David said, his seed begging bread. Now, of course, there are times of war or famine when food is scarce. And David is not saying here that God's people, they feast in such times. They don't. They suffer too. But the point here is not to find some exceptions to this statement. The point is to recognize and to acknowledge the unbounded faithfulness of God in constantly and repeatedly and undeservedly providing for all our needs. Every year again we have a harvest. Every season again we witness the faithfulness of God. He has promised to Noah that as long as the earth continues, summer and winter and heat and cold and harvest and springtime will not cease. Every day again, we have food to eat. We're not forced to beg on the streets of our cities for bread. I don't think any of us realize how quickly that could happen. You saw how fast the shelves emptied out back in March. One flick of God's finger and our supply chains will snap. It's all so fragile, congregation. So tenuous. But God mercifully keeps it flowing. He keeps giving. It's not our ingenuity or our global supply chains that give us all this food. No, he giveth and giveth and giveth again so that you're not forced to beg for bread. God provides. It's so worth noting on this Thanksgiving Day. Because not one of us properly appreciates and recognizes all the Lord's provisions for us. Every time your table is spread, It's a great testimony to God providing for your and my needs. You know, it struck me last week as I was preparing that for all the provisions and resources we pile up in this life, actually none of them are ours. When you were born, you brought nothing into this world. It was just and only you. And you were 100% dependent on the provisions of God through your mother or through others to you. And when you die, you'll take nothing out of this world with you. You come empty, you leave empty. What's the net change in this world because of your short journey through it? Nothing. The material world gained nothing by your presence. And it will lose nothing by your departure. And yet we arrive, we accumulate goods and provisions and resources, and then we leave. And we leave all those things to another. And that other, the next person, he will in turn leave it to someone else. And that person doesn't own it either because they also brought nothing into this world. When they were born, whose is it actually? It's all God's. It's all God's. Young people, everything you have, the money you make, the vehicles you own, the equipment, the tools, the electronics, the clothes, the jewelry, the books, the furniture, the house, your gifts, your health, your job, your schooling, everything is God's. And He has given it to you. Everything. Are you thankful for it? And if that's true, why do you sometimes worry about things you think you need or maybe you do need that you don't have yet? It's all God's. Jesus teaches us, take no thought for tomorrow what you will eat or what you will put on or what you will drink. He says these are the things that the heathen, the Gentiles, they spend their time worrying about. Not you. You know that God is in heaven. You know that He owns all things. You know that He gives you freely all things to enjoy. And you know that by experience and by the Word. Have a Father in heaven, and He will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yes, never once, says David, have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. He is the overflowing fountain of all good. Isn't that true? All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And that's not only true for the body, that's even true for the soul. He's given you all things necessary for life and godliness. Not only physically, but He supplied spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's never left you begging for bread for your soul. He's fed you. He's given you fresh provisions from out of His Word, a word in due season, a verse that spoke straight to you at a time when you needed it most, a sermon that comforted you in a difficult time, a book you read, a truth you meditated on. Spiritually, He gave you power when you were faint. He increased your strength. He was faithful. He provided spiritually. Continue to do so. You can go forward in this confidence. This God is our God forever and ever. He isn't a temporary God. He's always the same. He'll always provide. He will be our guide even unto death, the psalmist says. Child of God, do you realize the security that brings you? That's amazing. That's incredible. He will carry you over the edge of time into eternity seamlessly. He won't leave you for a minute. He will provide for you. He's faithful because He is your covenant God. Here on earth, He'll provide for every need, and there in heaven, a home Thou wilt provide me within Thy house for aye. How little we think of God so often. Also in this, the Lord is just to say, Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but how different He is from us. How great is God. He's never forsaken. He's always provided. And then thirdly, he draws out a gracious response. What does David say in verse 26? He says, it's also my observation that the righteous man, who himself was never forsaken and always provided for, was a most merciful and a kind man. God was always kind to him, and in turn, he was always kind to others. God showed mercy to him, and in turn, he showed mercy to others. God freely gave to him, and he freely gave to others. David observes this. He is ever merciful and lendeth. There was this predictable, reflexive act that always marked the righteous man, he says. He shows mercy just like God does. He lends and he gives just as God gives to him. It's interesting if you go back up to the end of verse 21. He says the same thing. The righteous showeth mercy and giveth. In contrast to the wicked in the first part of that verse, the righteous man doesn't hoard his goods. He's not selfish or cold. No, he recognizes God as giver, and he's always ready to take what God has given and to lavish it on those who have nothing or who have needs. And that's a mark of grace. Because as the saying goes, grace makes gracious. You know, when you see the mercies of God towards undeserving and sinful you, when you really see that, then your attitude towards others begins to change. Then you grow less critical than you may have been. And you begin to view others with love and compassion and concern, and you want to help them, to show kindness and grace to them. And you're ready to forgive others, as the apostle says, as even God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's not because you're somehow better, you have this in you by nature, you don't. When the Lord draws this gracious response out of His people, it's not that He finds something in them He just has to tease out. No, rather, He draws out of His people the very grace He has put there to begin with. He pulls His own grace, as it were, like a thread pulled by a needle through His people. And it manifests His grace all the more, and His glory all the more. The righteous man is ever merciful and lendeth. Is that you? When the Apostle Paul gives his farewell address to the elders of Ephesus, then he quotes Jesus Himself. It's a statement of Jesus that's found outside of the Gospels. It's only found there in Acts. He says there that, as Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You do that? You find that? David's saying the righteous don't hoard and selfishly keep to themselves like the wicked. They realize it's true, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And let that also be reflected by us at this time of thanksgiving. God has given us so much, congregation. He's opened His hand. He's satisfied for another year the desire of every living thing. And let us not be so faithless as to think that we need to stockpile for the future without regarding those who have need. but freely give. Freely ye have received, Paul says, freely give. God loveth a cheerful giver. And God in turn will continue to provide for all your needs because he owns everything in the universe. He will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And the ultimate proof of this, congregation, is to look at what God himself gave. He spared not his own son, but he gave him. He delivered him up for us all. That's why Paul says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, who even though he was perfectly righteous, was forsaken of God, but through him provides all things we need. Body and soul. And maybe you're here this morning and you hear this and you find very little of this gracious response in your heart, and that says a lot about you. If you hoard instead of help, if you stockpile instead of share, then you're not reflecting the grace of God. And that's not a good sign. That's what the wicked do. Verse 21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. And look at the next verse, verse 27. It's actually for you, if that's you this morning. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Thinking only of yourself may give some security for a few years, but eventually the seed of the wicked shall be cut up. But those who seek the Lord will dwell forevermore, it says. Our text adds, the seed of the righteous is blessed. When you belong to Christ, then you are properly the seed of the righteous. Then you will be blessed. No, you are blessed. Well, then submit to him who, Isaiah says, shall see his seed blessed in glory, dwelling with him forevermore. Let us seek this great giver this Thanksgiving day. Bless him who never forsakes and who always provides. Amen.